lines of, y'all just put aside whatever is worrying you and whatever's going on outside of church this morning, and it's still going to be there when we're done. You can pick it back up. But this time is set aside for us to worship the Lord. And I know I don't say it as good as he does, but the point is that we are here to worship God. And the first song we're going to sing this morning is Chainbreaker. And I know that for a lot of people really love that song. And I think sometimes about the chains that we get bound up in. I think about, we did this song, sang this song when we were at Beautiful Feet in February in Texas, where we ministered to the homeless there. And there was just so many people there in that congregation that were bound up in spiritual chains, chains of addiction and all sorts of things. But I don't know what chains you're bound up in this morning. It doesn't have to just be an addiction. There's a lot of other things. I think one of the easiest things to be bound up in is just, you know, selfishness and just living life the way we want to do it and not focusing on the things that God would have us doing. So just stand with us this morning, please, as we start worship.
Good morning, y'all. How's everybody doing? It's on. There it goes. Okay. Is Miss Nani's class in here? Are they gone already? Well, if you're in her class, you can go ahead. If you don't know if you're in her class, you can go ahead. If you just realize that Big John's not here, you can go ahead. Not you, Izzy. No, I'm just kidding, man. I love you. I had to pick on Izzy. We're going to be in John chapter 13 this morning. If you got your Bible, go ahead and turn there. John chapter 13. Very familiar scripture for all of us, I think. So directly following service this morning, we are going to actually role play this scripture. Does anybody know at John chapter 13, the beginning, what happens? Who's y'all's pastor again?
Jesus washes the disciples' feet.
Yeah, Jesus washes the disciples' feet. So we're going to role play that right after church. All the young people are going to take anybody that has any type of foot fungus or anything like that. They have volunteered to wash your feet. I know you're excited. Amen?
Amen.
Don't leave. I was just kidding. So, I'm really kidding. We're not washing feet after church. Some people are not cool with feet. I'm not going to bust anybody out. They might be a relative of mine through my wife. Possibly her mother. I'm just, you know, maybe. But I'm not a big foot person either. It's just kind of weird. You know, somebody else's feet. All right, so John chapter 13. Y'all doing good this morning? I'm sorry, I forgot to ask. Everybody good? Is anybody lying? Okay, good. That's awesome. No lying in church. John chapter 13. We're going to read verses 1 through 11. So y'all just follow along. Before the Passover festival, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Now when it was time for supper, the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, Simon Iscariot's son, to betray him. Jesus knew that the Father had given everything into his hands, that he had come from God, and that he was going back to God. So he got up from supper, laid aside his outer clothing, took a towel, and tied it around himself. Next, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet and to dry them with the towel tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who asked him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I'm doing you don't realize now, but afterwards you'll understand." "You'll never wash my feet," Peter said. Jesus replied, "If I don't wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." "One who has bathed," Jesus told him, "doesn't need to wash anything except his feet, but he is completely clean. You are clean, but not all of you." For he knew who would betray him. This is why I said, "Not all of you are clean." Y'all bow your heads and we'll pray. Lord, we thank you for this morning, God. Thank you for everybody that's here this morning. I pray that you would be with Big John and his family as they come home from Michigan. Just help them to have a safe trip. Lord, we pray for the people in Florida right now. As the hurricane comes through and the people in Texas who are recovering from that, God, I just pray a special blessing upon them. I pray a hedge of protection around them, Lord. And I pray, God, that you would open your word to us this morning, that we would hear it in a fresh way, in a new way, and that we would draw closer to you through it. Father, we thank you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. There we go. I was waiting on it. Y'all looking up like y'all supposed to say amen, not me. Or am I supposed to say, "And everybody said"? Amen. Thank you. Got like one person in the whole church. All right, so, y'all, how cool is this scripture? How cool is this scripture? All right, let's pray and we'll be dismissed because... This is going nowhere fast. Oh, tough crowd, man, I'm trying to tell you. Golly. Are y'all awake? Did y'all have a long day yesterday? Y'all, I want to say that the youth had an awesome opportunity yesterday to bless George and Carrie Sagebury. Went to their house and we did a lot of work, cut down trees, did some flower bed work, stuff like that. But y'all pray for Mr. George. course, y'all know he's got cancer, and Miss Carrie was saying yesterday that he's not doing that well. So y'all make sure y'all pray for him. But it was awesome for the kids to be able to go and bless them yesterday. So y'all give them a hand. They did a good job. Those that were there, 10 out of 31 showed up. 10 out of 31. 10 out of 31. I'm not busting anybody out in particular. Just saying, some people did not show up. Okay, now, back on to this. Let's get serious. All right, let's look back in verses 1 through 3 real quick. Obviously, we're going to start at the beginning there. And it said, before the Passover festival, Jesus what? Jesus knew that his hour had come. So what was about to happen to him? He was about to be crucified, absolutely. Okay, and it says, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And when it was time for supper, the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas to betray him. And Jesus knew that the Father had given everything into his hands, that he had come from God, and that he was going back to God. Okay, so the first thing that we see in these scriptures is that Jesus, he knew, he knows. Past tense, future tense, present tense, I don't know, however you want to look at it. Jesus knows, right? What does Jesus know in this scripture? Verse 1, what does he know? Yeah, his time is up. He's about to be crucified. So Jesus knew his circumstances, right? He knew what was about to happen. Now, I got a question for you. Y'all ever heard that old song that says, you know, like they tell him he's about to die, and he says, so I went skydiving and Rocky Mountain climbing, and I rode however many seconds. This is one of those songs you just make up the words to. On a bull man, blue man's shoe. I don't know. It's a Chinese bull, I guess. I've always just made the name up. I don't understand what he's saying. But he says he does all that stuff, right? Y'all know the song? If you don't, I just told you, so now you know it. Okay, so the guy's going to die, and he does all these things he's always wanted to do. Okay, so Jesus knows, according to Scripture, that he is about to die. Okay, so here's my question for you. If I came to you and said, you got 1 week to live, next Sunday at 1:32 p.m., you are going to die. Your time's up. Over with. Done. Through. Okay, my question is, what would you do? Don't answer that. Just think about it. But what would you do? You got 1 week. How would you prioritize that week? Would you go to work every day or take the week off? Y'all want to take the week off anyway. That's just an excuse to take off. Would you hang out with your family? Yep. Probably so, okay. How many of y'all would do like the crazy stuff, like go skydiving or Rocky Mountain climbing, stuff like that, okay? Absolutely, I probably would too if I had a week to live. I would not ride a Chinese bull because I don't even know. That would just not work out well, I don't think. Okay, but I would definitely go climb something. I'd probably go jump out a plane. My sister wants to anyway, and I always tell her, like, yeah, I'll go with you, because she's diseased, and so I don't know, you know. I'm just kidding. She's got some ailment, so they keep telling her she can't do it. So every time she asks me, I'm like, yeah, I'll go with you, because I know she can't go for real. So, you know, it makes me look like I'm not scared, but... But if I had a week to live, I probably would jump out of a plane, maybe even without a parachute, because what difference does it make? You know, I'm going to die anyway, right? Okay? So Jesus knew that the mic was going to go when I walked over there. But Jesus knew his circumstances, right? Okay, how cool is this? Jesus knows your circumstances too. Okay? He knows right where you are today. He knows everything that's going on in your life, and he knows everything that's going to go on in your life from now until the day that you die. He also knows when you're going to die. Okay? So Jesus knows. He knows. The other thing that Jesus knew is that the devil had already put it into Judas's heart to betray him. Did you know before the Last Supper, Judas has already gone to the chief priest and he's already sold Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver. Did y'all know that? This has already happened. He's already gone. He took the money, and he says, okay, I'll let y'all know when the time is right, and then y'all come get him. And Jesus knows this when they get to the Last Supper. Okay? See y'all with me so far? Everybody with me? Y'all good? Y'all see where this is going? It's pretty cool stuff. Okay, so Jesus knows his circumstances. He's got a week to live. Jesus knows that Judas has already betrayed him. He's already sold him out. He also knows our circumstances. He also knows the times that we maybe take a step outside of what he wants us to do. He also knows our sin, our trials, and our struggles. He knows all that stuff about us, just like he knew it about the disciples. Because, guys, if you read this scripture all the way through, a little bit further in the scripture, he tells Peter, hey, by the way, you're going to deny me three times. Right? Okay, and if you look back at John chapter 6, you would read where Jesus is about to feed the 5,000, and Philip says, yeah, there's no way you can do this. So, like, total disbelief in what God can do. Okay, and if you read back in Mark chapter 10, you read where James and John are arguing over who's the better disciple. Lord, can we sit on your left and your right? Because these guys aren't as good as we are. We are the best. I want to sit at your left hand and I on your right, Lord. But the right hand was better. So then they were arguing about who was going to be on the right and who was going to be on the left, right? So Jesus knew about all their pride. So these disciples, they weren't the greatest people in the world. Amen? Okay, guess what? I'm not either. That's right. Are you? Nobody? None of y'all are good people? Somebody's got to be a good person. Is there one good person in here? LG. You just got busted out. LG's been here so long, he doesn't know how to do anything wrong anymore. See, he's experienced every possible thing in life. Did y'all know that Mr. LG was actually on the boat with Christopher Columbus when they discovered America? I'm going to pay for that one. Y'all know that, right? He is not that old. You are correct. He is not quite that old. But he was in South America when they came over for the first time. So, anyway. All right. I'm just messing with him. But guys, this is what I want to get at, okay? And I hope you've heard it already. The number one thing that I want you to understand from the first part of this scripture is that Jesus knows. Okay? He knows your circumstances today. He knows your trials today. He knows your missteps today. He knows your struggles today. He knows every bit of it, just like he knew the disciples' struggles and their missteps. And y'all, this is my favorite part of this scripture. The very next verse, verse 4, it says, so he got up from supper, laid aside his outer clothing, took a towel, tied it around himself, poured water into a basin, and began to wash his disciples' feet and to dry them with the towel around him. So Jesus knows his time is up. He knows he's about to die. He knows that Judas has betrayed him. He knows that James and John are full of pride. He knows that Philip is full of misbelief. He knows that Peter is going to deny him. He knows every bit of that. And he gets up from the table. He ties a towel around his waist. He gets down on his hands and knees, and he starts washing their feet. So I asked you guys at the beginning, I said, if I told you you had a week to live, what would you do? And amazingly, nobody answered, I would wash other people's feet. You see, guys, washing feet was not cool back then. Matter of fact, like if you were a Jewish servant, you weren't even allowed to wash feet. That was saved for the non-Jewish slaves. That's how low on the totem pole it was what Jesus did. But he gets up from dinner, he ties a towel around his waist, and he starts washing their feet. So even though he knows, he still chose to serve them. With his last moments on earth, he went as low as you could possibly go and served other people. He washed Judas's feet after Judas betrayed him. After Judas sold him out, he washed his feet. I don't know what that does for you guys, but that, I don't even know what the word is. It just absolutely blows my mind. Think about it, guys. I want you all to think about the person that's offended you recently. Y'all got that person in mind? The only reason I closed my eyes is because I knew some of you were going to look at your husband or wife. And I didn't want to have to bust you out. So y'all got the person in mind, the person that's offended you recently? All right. How many of y'all wash their feet after they offended you? How many of y'all had somebody sell you out to be killed? Anybody hired a hitman recently? Please don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. Okay, so if you've hired a hitman recently, we're going to pray for you right after church. All right. We might need to stop right now. Okay, but that hasn't happened to anybody, right? We hope it hasn't happened to anybody. But if it had, what if somebody had hired a hitman to kill you? Would you go wash their feet? I mean, what if you had a week to live and then somebody hired a hitman? That's like double. Would you go wash their feet? Probably not. But that's what Jesus chooses to do. Now, let's look at how we oftentimes respond when Jesus wants to do something for us. In verse 6, it says, He came to Simon Peter, who asked him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus answered him, What I'm doing you don't realize now, but afterward you'll understand. You'll never wash my feet, Peter said. Now let's just stop right there for a second, okay? So Jesus, who is about to be crucified, he's about to go back to the Father, right? He comes to Peter. Now that means when he came to Peter, that means he'd already been washing feet, right? Peter was not the first one. He came to Peter. So when he comes to Peter, Peter looks at him and says, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Well, what do you think, stupid? I mean, he's washed everybody else's feet. You think he's just going to skip over you? Okay? Some of y'all get my logic on that, why I called him stupid. Some of y'all are like, I can't believe you just called him stupid. Okay, so he's washing all these people's feet. Did Peter say anything when he was washing this guy's feet? Or this guy, or this guy, or this guy, or this guy? No, he waits till he gets to him, right? And he makes a big show out of it. I call that righteous indignation. This is my word for it. You choose whichever one you want. But how many of y'all have done that before? Like somebody's going to bless you, right? They want to bless you. They want to do something for you. And when they come up to you to do it for you, here's your response. Oh, no, you will never do that for me. How dare you try to do that? No. I love it, man. I love it. Because it's what we do. Oh, no, please don't bless us. Please don't. Y'all, I can't tell you that story now. Because I told you who it was. I don't like telling stories because they didn't do it, so you would know who it was. A while back, we had somebody donate $500 to the youth to go to Centrifuge. These folks really don't have $500, but they gave it anyway. My first initial response was, no. You can't do that. Keep that. Well, who am I to tell them not to bless the youth? If God told them to do it, then who am I to tell him not to do it, right? Okay, but that's what Peter just did. Oh, no, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. And to make it even better, did y'all notice what he said in verse 8? He says, you'll never wash my feet. Now, the actual translation for that verse, it says, in no way shall you wash my feet to the end of the age. In other words, past, present, future, you'll never wash my feet, Lord. So he looks at him in front of everybody. You will never bless me, Lord. You will never wash my feet. Now think about yourself now. How many of us have done the same thing when God wants to bless us with an opportunity? God wants to bless us with whatever it may be, a new job, a move, a family, whatever it is. He wants to bless us, but we totally deny him. No, Lord, I'm not going to step out on faith and allow you to do that. You will never do that for me, God. Because I got a feeling I'm not the only one that's done that before. I got a feeling I'm not the only one that's looked and because my mind, it works like 37 steps ahead all the time. And so I'm looking at step 37 when, you know, I haven't even taken step one yet. And going, yeah, that's not going to work. That's not going to happen. But that's what Peter does. He denies God's blessing. He denies God's service. You're not going to wash my feet. And so I love this, y'all. I love this. I just love this whole scripture. Verse 9, he says, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. And y'all just imagine Jesus being so calm when he says that. Like, okay, you're going to hell. See, I'll read what it says now. You will have no part with me. What does that mean? Going to hell. So that's what Jesus says. Like, so calm, so relaxed. Okay, that's fine. Don't worry about it. I won't wash your feet. But you're going to hell. Okay, so now, Peter reacts the same way we do. The same way we do. He says, Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. Now, this is the same Peter that two verses before said, never will you wash my feet to the end of the age. And now he turns around and says, oh, Lord, my bad. Yeah, don't wash just my feet, but wash my head and my hands also. Just clean my whole body, Lord. Just wash me from head to toe. Now, let me ask you a question. Did Jesus say he wanted to wash his head? Did Jesus say he wanted to wash his hands? What did Jesus say he wanted to wash? Well, why are you asking for all that then? Because he reacts like we do. We jump from one extreme to the other. Like there ain't no middle ground. What? You mean I have no part with you if I don't do this? Oh, well then do all this too. No, that's not what he said. He didn't say he wanted to do all that. He said he wanted to do this. So just shut up and let him do it. But a lot of times we have problems shutting up and letting him do it. Wow, we got real quiet. Got one amen. Thank you for being honest. Yo, I have problems shutting up. I'm praying. I'm going through my list every morning on the way to church. You know, Lord, bless those crazy youth. I don't even know what to say about them, God. They're just so weird, man, and odd, and I don't even know, Lord. Their IQs, I even wonder if they have one sometimes. And I go, you know, and all that. And some, I'm just, I really don't pray all that. So, but sometimes I'm driving, and it's like, just shut up. Would you just shut up and let me speak to you for a second? Just hush. But I have a problem with that because I pretty much like talk for a living. And so I just keep right on talking. No telling how many blessings I missed out on because I wouldn't just shut up and listen. Or because I went from one extreme to the other. Guys, you know why people get burned out in church? It's because God calls you to do this. And instead of doing this, we do this, 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 and this because people ask us to. But if God calls you to do that, then that is what you need to be doing. Not that, 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 and that. That's why people get burned out. So Jesus tells him, he says, look, one who is bathed, this is verse 10, one who's bathed doesn't need to wash anything except his feet, but he is completely clean. Okay? So Jesus tells him, he says, look, you're clean already because who made you clean? Yeah. He did. That's exactly right. Jesus made you clean. What's John been preaching about lately? Grace. Absolutely. So Jesus looks at him and says, Peter, you're clean because of my grace. I don't need to wash your head. I don't need to wash your hands. All I need to wash is your feet. That's it. That's all I need to wash. And when I wash that, you'll be totally and completely clean because I did it. Not anything that you did, but I did it. And guys, that is the grace of God exemplified. But there is one word that I skipped over, and I skipped over it intentionally so I could hit it. It's 11:48, and I'm almost done. Y'all say praise the Lord. Okay, that was intentional because me and Bert went over a total of 30 minutes the last two times we preached combined. And so I was like, I'm giving them their time back. No, I'm just kidding. But in all seriousness, actually I was being serious, but in all seriousness, okay, there's one word I skipped over. I skipped over it intentionally because, y'all, when I was studying this message, it was like this word, literally, I remember sitting in my chair. I was on my lunch break at work. I had my feet kicked up on the desk because that's just what I do when I'm reading and stuff. And sometimes I have to make myself stay awake. But anyway, I was on my lunch break. So I'm on my lunch break and I'm reading and I read this word and I just stopped. Like, I stopped, closed my eyes, and actually started crying, which doesn't happen very much. I thought it was my allergies at first, but it wasn't. I was actually crying. I started to take a Benadryl, but realized, no, that's the tear ducts, okay? You're just crying. because this word blew my mind. And I hope it blows your mind too. So we're going to look back at verse 4. Because it goes through and it says that Jesus knew he was about to die. He knew he was about to be crucified. He knew how bad it was going to hurt. He knew they were going to beat him. He knew they were going to pull his beard from his face. He knew all that. He knew that was going to happen. He knew Judas had betrayed him. He knew Judas had already sold him out. He knew Peter was going to deny him. He knew about Philip. He knew about James and John. He knew about all of them. Now watch this. It's one word in verse 4. It's the very first word. What does it say? So. I don't know if that does to you what it did to me. But watch this, guys. Because Jesus knew he was about to die, and because Jesus knew Judas had betrayed him, he chose to serve the disciples and wash their feet. Because he knew that. Do you follow that? Do you understand that? Because I knew all this stuff about these guys, because I knew how not that good they were in their hearts, I chose to serve them anyway. Wow. Guys, that floors me. And I hope you understand what I'm getting at. Because I am not a good person, he chose to love me. Because I've done things in my life that probably should be in jail for, he chose to love me. Because Judas betrayed him, he chose to love him. He chose to serve him. And so, guys, I think a lot of people here today were kind of on one side or the other. You know, I think we've got probably some Peters in here today that I know about myself that I'm not a very good person, right? But I also try to keep up this image that I'm holy and I'm righteous and I'm spiritual. Oh no, you can't bless me, Lord. No, Lord, no thank you. How can you ever bless me? Well, we're trying to act like he's better than us, but really we're putting ourselves above him. But y'all, the cool thing is that a little bit later on in Acts, Peter preaches and 5,000 people get saved. It's not bad numbers. $5,000, you know. I'd take five, much less 5,000. So there's Peter. But then I think a lot of us are on the Judas side where we've sold Jesus out. Jesus chooses to serve us anyway. He chooses to love us anyway. He chose to die for us anyway, to be resurrected for us anyway. But we're like, forget you. I've been through too much in life. You just don't understand what's happened to me. There's no way I'm believing in you. Because when I did and I prayed, they still died. Because when I did and they prayed, they still left. Because when I did and I prayed, XYZ happened. Fill in the blank. So I've been that route. I've done that, God. I prayed and you did not answer the way I thought it should be answered. I tried to believe in you. I had a teacher at another school actually tell me one time, she said, how do you stay so calm with these crazy kids all the time? And I said, medicine. And she said, no, seriously, because I really wasn't taking medicine. I said, oh, I could say that's easy. His name is Jesus. And she said, you know, I tried that guy one time, but then my mom died. Okay, you tried him one time? Really? Because he died for you. But that's that Judas mentality. I prayed, I tried it out, it didn't work out. What happened to Judas? Nothing good. Yeah, he killed himself. Okay, and I'm pretty sure he didn't end up upstairs. I don't know that for sure. But I'm pretty sure he didn't. But on the other side, we've got Peter. Peter has belief. Peter has faith. He just kind of missteps every once in a while. Has struggles and trials, but he comes back to Christ. And so, guys, I don't know where you are today, but I know that there's some of you on the Judas side. I know there's some of you on the Peter side, and there's probably some of you that are in between on somebody else's side that we haven't talked about. But here's what I know. I know that in verse 4, it says so. And that's the only word I need to know, is so. Because I need His help, He chose to give it to me. And if you don't take anything else away from this today, take home that word so. And next time you see that word so, just remind yourself that because I'm not a great person, Jesus chose to love me. If you will, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I normally don't do this, but the worship team, y'all come on. I normally just kind of close it and let it be what it is. But if y'all will bow your head and close your eyes, I just ask that everybody would close their eyes. I know some people have issues with that, but if y'all will, close your eyes. And if I see that you're looking, I will bust you out. So close your eyes. If you today are on Judas's side of the fence, you know, you've tried the Jesus thing, and it just doesn't seem to be working out. Y'all, I promise you, I'm not going to bust you out, ask you to come up front, anything like that. I just ask, just kind of throw a finger up in the air, give me a head nod, anything like that. Throw a hand in the air. Amen. And if you're on Peter's side today, you know, you have faith, you want to believe, but sometimes you block God's blessing. Sometimes you refuse to step out and serve. Sometimes you refuse to allow Him to serve you. Just raise your hand in the air, maybe a finger. Amen. So guys, I'm going to pray for you. And after I do, they're going to sing a song. And during that song, I invite you to come to the altar, pray, release those things, give them over to Him. Pray right where you're at. Pray in the back. It doesn't matter. Jesus is everywhere. Father, I thank You, Lord, for this morning. I thank You for Your word. God, I thank You that even though I'm not a very good person, You love me anyway. And God, I pray for each person in this place, for the ones that raised their hand and said, you know, I'm kind of where Judas was. I'm through with God. I pray, Lord, that through Your word this morning, You would strengthen them. God, strengthen them and make them whole again in their heart. Whatever it is that's missing, I pray that You would fill it today. God, that they would feel Your presence, feel Your love, wrap Your arms around them, Lord, that they would come to You and know that You are the only way that we'll ever make it through this life. God, and I pray for those that raised their hand and said, you know, I'm kind of where Peter was. I want to serve, but sometimes I put myself above God. Or I want to have faith, but sometimes I step the wrong way. And God, I pray right now that You would let them know that You love them anyway. You love us anyway. And You still choose to serve us. You chose to die. You chose to come because You loved us. And I pray, Lord, that You would give us the faith that we need to step out and do the things You ask us to do and allow You to bless us, Father. Lord, we thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. I can't think of a more fitting song than that one for that message. I believe y'all read my notes beforehand. So we read the Word, we worshiped the Lord, now we need all your money. So if the ushers will come, make sure you bring 2 plates each. They're all giving life savings today. That's what I heard through the grapevine. I'm just kidding, y'all. God is good, amen?
Amen.
Man. Y'all bow your heads and we will pray. Lord, thank you again for this morning. Just ask that you would take this offering and use it to further your ministry, Lord. May every dime be used for your glory and for your ministry. Lord, we thank you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Right. On the way of announcements, they gave them all before church, so you should have been here. Otherwise, you should have watched the board. Otherwise, you should have looked in your little program thing. So three places, I'm not giving any. Oh, I am going to give one. Don't forget a youth team meeting if you're on that team after church. 15, 20 minutes, we'll be done. Thank y'all. I love you. But more importantly, thank you for letting Big John be your pastor. Ready? Break.